here it is, a Getaway Friday, October the 15th, 2021, 16 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears along with you today on the air here on WWGH Radio, and we have had a busy morning, to say the least. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Colleen Marshall. Have a lot of housekeeping to do this hour, and then we're going to go to the phones and maybe play some games here on the air, give away some tickets. But we've got to update our Geraldo Journal. We'll do this very quickly today. Let's see here. Where are we today? Okay. October the 15th. Did we update this yesterday? Yeah, we did. Did not hear from Geraldo. There's a shock. Okay. 10, 15, 21. Did not hear from Geraldo. Now, here's why this is becoming a pain in the neck. And I understand it's a pain in the neck for me, a pain in the neck for you. But we would just like some information. At this point, you know, of course we want him on. That's the whole point of this journal. But we will be 30 days into this. 30 days? Yeah, 30 days into this journal tomorrow. Now, thank goodness tomorrow we won't be here doing this journal, but we will have been doing this for 30 days, and we are we're making less progress now than we were in the beginning, and this man, Rob, who is allegedly his producer or whatever, at the station, WTAM, has received emails, has received letters in the mail, has received everything from me, from you, from everybody, and he has responded in no way. There has not been a phone call here at the station. There has not been a message left. I have not received an email back from this man. I don't know if anybody has. Has anybody got a letter or an email or anything? Do we know anything about this whole Geraldo situation at this point? Because I would really love to add something to this journal. But basically, it's just been a bunch of did not hear from Geraldos as of late. So if anybody has anything they would like to impart, give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, one thing I was thinking about, there are some guests and events coming up here at the station. Heaven forbid, should Geraldo ever return a phone call or phone message, email, something. We have the big candidates event coming up on Thursday, October the 28th. You know, things are looking pretty good inside the station here, but we still do not have a sign. You know, I think we probably need to power wash the area here. That would probably be a big improvement. And the porch is looking better. But, you know, we don't have a sign. And this has become an issue. And I think it's going to be a big issue on October 28th, or should Geraldo ever come here. Because the address, as many of you know, is hard to see from the road. And it's a road that people drive down very fast, and it's a one-way street, and we have no sign. Now, I don't think we need any big elaborate sign. I just think we need something like, you know, like realtors use out in the front yard, you know, maybe a wooden post with a sign hanging off of it. That way people will know what this is. I remember when Governor Strickland was here, he had no idea that this was it. He sat out front for I don't know how long. Mary Ellen drove around the block a few times when she first came here. It's hard to find, yeah, because you can't really see the address and there is no sign. So we've really got to get this fixed because we're 6 months into this at the new location, and we really should have a sign. So if anybody has any ideas, I don't know where you go to get a sign maker or any of that, but heading into this big candidates night and heading into possibly Geraldo, good luck on that one. Or if Colleen Marshall would ever come here, or Governor Strickland would come back, or anybody, we really should have some kind of a sign. So does anybody have any ideas on the whole sign issue? I don't want something on the building itself, because you wouldn't be able to see it until you were already past the building. So that would not work. And A sign in the yard is just so much easier. I think that's why realtors put signs in yards and things of that nature. So if anybody has any ideas on that, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. I think we're pretty close, as a matter of fact, to 7 months. We came here on April 1st. So it's been a while since we've been here now, and still no sign. We're going to have to do something about it. If we don't find a sign for out front, something will have to be done. Anyway, give me a call if you have any thoughts, 740-383-9944, and the Geraldo Journal for today. It doesn't look like we have any updates in this department. Did not hear from Geraldo. Okay. But now 30 days into this, did not hear from Geraldo. So we'll throw that over to the side. All right. What else do we have to do here? Well, we can talk about anything that we've talked about this morning. We've talked about the auditor resigning yesterday. Colleen Marshall on this morning after going down to Channel 4 on Tuesday night to interview her. If you have anything to say about anything, give me a buzz and we can talk about it. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, I want to tell you the little story about Colleen Marshall. That's the one I've been holding off on, and I'm sorry I did not get to tell the story before we got into the interview. But Colleen could not have been more gracious and nice. Now, however you feel about her as a news anchor, however you feel about her as an interviewer, that's your business. But I just want to tell you the truth of this, that on Tuesday night, well, I'm going to take the call, then we'll come back to this. Okay. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that interview with Colleen Marshall, Scott.
Yeah, she's a sharp lady. I was hoping that what we could do in that interview is learn about her, because, you know, so many people watch her every day, but I don't know how much people know about her.
Yeah, has watched her for years.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to change my tune on Jimmy Crum, honestly, because...
Yeah, that's one thing I was going to tell you. Her take on Jimmy Crum is a whole different than your take on Jimmy Crum.
Well, I think what happened there, to be honest, I had a bad experience with him. Now, my experience is not untrue. As I said, it is exactly how it happened. But I'm willing to maybe to start to give him a pass, because I believe her story was true as well. And if he did do that, which I assume he did, showed up at the station with flowers because he knew her father had died 2 weeks earlier, in an old age when he was on a cane, you know, I may be willing to start to give Jimmy Crum a pass.
And it sounds like he's done a lot of, you know, good and, you know, benefiting others.
Well, and I also can say at this point, because we did the interview in the lobby, it's not a statue, but there's a big plaque on the wall in the lobby. So yes, it is there in the lobby. I don't know what that man, I don't even know how he would miss it, to be honest with you, that WCMH guy we called, because the lobby doesn't have much in it. The lobby is pretty much just windows and chairs. There isn't even a reception desk. So the fact that he didn't see that, because it's a pretty big plaque. It's got his face on it, Jimmy Crum's face on it. So I don't know how that all happened, but his plaque definitely is there. So I'm going to have to change my take on Jimmy Crum and say, I had an unpleasant experience with him, but it does look as if he was good to a lot of people.
Yeah, I think he was a good person overall. And he might have been in a bad mood or had it that day. You know, he might have had, you know, something weighing on his mind or something that day.
It could have been. I do know his wife had died not too long before that, and I do know that he did have health issues, cancer and things of that nature. That could have been it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. At this point, you know, if he was willing to do something like that for somebody, and that would have been after I met him. My encounter with him was somewhere like 2004, 2005.
Oh, that's long ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's been gone for quite a while. I believe he died in 2000. When did he die? He was 80. I know that. So he was. Let's see. If he was 65. When he retired in 94, he would have been 81, When? 2009? So about 5 years before he died. He was probably 75 when I was around him.
But Colleen Marshall really looks good for a 60-some-year-old woman, doesn't she?
Oh, she does, and I was sitting right next to her. I mean, there's not... I would not say there's anything that would make her look any younger other than, you know, the makeup that all television personalities wear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, but what I was surprised with about her, she was the only one out there in the lobby with us, and she came right off the air. At 7:30, she was still pulling her earpiece out of her ear as she was coming into the lobby to do the interview. She did 47 minutes with us. She just was... could not have been more hospitable. But it's interesting to me, when I announced, before the interview even played, when I said I was going to have Colleen Marshall on, some people said, well, I won't be listening.
Oh.
And I thought, well, you know what, and I'm not defending Colleen Marshall here, but see, I don't understand that, because... listen, we all have different choices when it comes to people we like on television, but what is the reason you wouldn't want to hear what she had to say on this show? If you listen to this show, what would be such a turnoff about her? I don't quite get that.
Well, once they listen to that interview and, you know, how sharp she is and the people she's, you know, maybe they just haven't seen her much. You know, they don't watch Channel 4. I don't know.
I just don't know what society we are turning into where things like that are happening. I don't, you don't have to listen or watch anything that you don't want to listen or watch, but to judge it before you even hear it is what I don't understand.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to your story on Colleen.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to talk about this. Thank you. Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, so Angie and I show up. It's pretty close to 7:30. And the funny thing was, and this is very, very nice, we had to go through a gate. And when we got through the gate, because the station was closed, because it was after 5 o'clock, the person at the gate who buzzed us in the gate said, we won't be able to let you in the door until she gets off the air at 7:30, because we've got to check with her to make sure that you really are here to do the interview. So we parked the car, and a man was standing at the door. So I'm thinking, well, this is kind of odd, because they just told us they couldn't let us in until she got off the air. So this guy says, hey, you know, come on in. And as we're going in the door, this guy knew who I was. He said, how you doing, Scott? Something to that effect. And I thought, how do I know this guy? And he said, a young guy. And he said, he had worked at the Marion Star. And he was even talking about Michelle Johnson, who used to work at the Marion Star. She went down to Channel 4. They weren't on the air. I think they worked in the internet department, putting stories out. But she's no longer there, Michelle, but there was Michelle. He brought up Michelle. He knew that I had Michelle on my show, and he's down there. And I just thought that was highly fascinating, that he knew who I was. I didn't remember him, and I felt bad about that. But he couldn't have been nicer. He let us go into the restrooms. He asked if we needed any water or anything. He got me a water, got Colleen out there. It was just very, very nice. I could not have been more happy about that particular incident. And then here comes Colleen. She's pulling the earpiece out of her ear, coming out in the lobby. Wanted to talk before we ever started the interview. It's not like she was in any great hurry, and she was between newscasts, you know. She had just completed the 7:30 newscast, and she had to be back on the air by 11, and I assume she has to make all her calls and eat lunch in this small period of time. So we do the interview, and I said, well, we need to get a picture because we need to advertise the interview. And she said, well, let's not take the picture, you know, this lobby is kind of, you know, we don't want to take it in front of these pictures. So there was a kind of a stand-up cutout over in the corner. And she said, let's get this and pull this out and stand in front of this. So she is pulling on this thing herself. You know, here she's in, her TV clothes and her TV makeup. She's in between newscasts, and she's pulling this thing out of the corner to take the picture. And just could not have been more hospitable, a nice, nice woman. And the things she said during the interview I thought were very nice. In regard to me and this station and things of that nature. Because to me, if you like her or don't like her, there's nobody who's got more gravitas in Columbus, Ohio right now than Colleen Marshall. She's been there for 37 years. I don't think anybody on Columbus Television right now has been there longer than that. And she may be the oldest person in age right now on Columbus Television at 65 years old, which also is a feat because television cares a lot about how old you are. So that was my experience with Colleen Marshall. She was very, very nice, but I was surprised that more than one person, before I ever played the interview, when I was just showing pictures of the interview, said they were not going to listen. Because I guess they don't like her. I guess that's what it is. I don't know. I would just think you'd listen to the interview to see what you could learn. I would guess that probably not every guest on this show everybody likes. But hopefully the interviews are worth hearing. I think there were things in that interview with Colleen Marshall that never had been said. I think the story about Jimmy Crumb was very interesting. I'd never heard that. I think the story about Doug Adair and the lunch hours was interesting. I'd never heard that. I think there was a lot in that interview that was fascinating. So I wonder sometimes where we are as a society. And, you know, maybe it's on my mind today, too, because of this whole auditor story. And how I've been feeling all week that it really doesn't matter what the job is. It really doesn't matter how people are doing their job. What really matters is, do I like them? Do I hate them? What party am I? I don't quite understand that. I don't get how we got there. But apparently it also goes into other areas, not just politics. Apparently it goes into television as well. And probably radio. But what can you do? You know, years ago, I heard a quote, I don't even remember where it came from, but that Jack Benny had said that the best thing that can happen in broadcasting is if people like you. If they don't like you, there's nothing you can do about it. It's all subjective. You're either going to like somebody or you're not on the air, but you got to be yourself. So that's my little story on that this morning. All right, 740-383-9944, if you've got anything to say in regard to the whole auditor resignation yesterday, or the Colleen Marshall interview, or anything else on your mind, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. But in conclusion of that, I will say that in my books, Colleen Marshall is a nice person and a very competent news person. Now, who likes what somebody does all the time? But for me, I don't know anybody in Columbus who gets the gets that she gets or does the job that she does. So, there's that in an anchor position. Okay, we're getting a phone call here. Let's go to the phone lines. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I don't know who I could talk to about this. I have a couple people that I don't know where they live in Marion, but I know they live somewhere, but I don't have their phone numbers. Do you have any idea what I could do?
Who are they?
Well, one is Patsy Kreider.
Okay.
And the other one is Marianne Boyd.
And why do you want to be in touch with them?
I need to have their phone number.
Oh, okay. Well?
I used to work with them back in the late 50s and early 60s at Montgomery Ward.
Oh, okay. So Patsy Kreider and Mary Ann Boyd.
Boyd.
Now, is this someone involved with the Boyd Funeral Home?
No.
Okay. Now, is there any particular reason you're looking for these ladies?
I just like to get together with them. There's not very many of us that's still alive.
Oh, so you worked at Montgomery Ward. What was that like?
Well, we both worked there. We all worked there when we were young, in our 20s.
Well, what number would these women contact you at if somebody's listening who knows them?
Okay, 740-499-2328.
Okay, so again, the names are Patsy Kreider, Mary Ann Boyd, and if anybody knows them or if they are listening, call 740-499-2328. And what's your name, ma'am?
Eva Kalb.
Eva Kalb.
They knew me as Eva Lou.
Eva Lou. All right. Well, the word is out, and hopefully they contact you.
Well, I'd appreciate that so much.
Hey, thank you, Eva.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And that's also the type of thing we like to do here at this station. Montgomery Ward, how about that? I bet there aren't too many of those people left. I don't know how long Montgomery Ward's been out of business, but it's been a while. Does anybody know Patsy Kreider or Mary Ann Boyd? Or, by chance, are either of those ladies listening here in the Marion area? The Montgomery Ward employees, Eva Kalb, known as Eva Lou, is looking for you to get together for a little reunion. That's nice. Her number is 740-499-2328. So if you want to get in touch with her, that would be great. 740-499-2328. That's Eva Kalb, but you probably knew her as Eva Lou. And the people we're looking for, Patsy Kreider or Mary Ann Boyd, employees of Montgomery Ward. Or you can call us here at the station, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. All right. Anybody else with anything on their mind, give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. Did we ever get any movement on the whole Don Fleming issue? And just in a nutshell, if you forgot this story, Don Fleming was kind of an outspoken man who used to show up at city council and county commissioners back when I was covering them, probably 15 years ago, and he was fascinating. We started to look for him because I wasn't sure what became of him. We found him, and I believe somebody did call him, but we never heard anything from him. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, this is in regards to the auditor's office. You guys once talked about a Yager report?
Yes.
So that only applies to people that are hired to work in City Hall. It doesn't apply to elected officials.
Well, what the I believe it's the Yager report. What the Yager report years ago, I'm thinking the 70s or 80s, was adopted by City Council to try to have competent people in certain positions. Now, those are people who are hired by the city. So City Council could do that because City Council ultimately has the final say. Well, I guess not in every position, but at least it would give people who worked in the mayor's office, the auditor's office, or for the city, a certain qualification that you had to meet, or a suggested qualification. I'm not even sure if it's a rule, because to be honest with you, the whole reason we started talking about this report is because people weren't following it. But
I remember the guy that did the getting stuff for the gift card for somebody that wasn't the mayor.
Right, but you can't. In Marion, because we are not a charter city,
what does that mean?
What's that?
What does that mean? What?
We don't make our own rules for certain things.
Okay.
A charter city would, they could the city itself could limit the power of the mayor. They could do anything. Really, a charter city. But also, a charter city, I believe, forfeits some tax dollars involved in the state.
Yeah.
So, in any event, being an elected official is just chosen by the people. And somewhere along the line, many years before you and I, and probably anybody else listening, was ever born, somebody in Ohio who was setting up the position of auditors in cities decided that you did not need any qualifications for that position except to be elected by the voters. And to be honest with you, you don't need any qualifications to be president. You don't need any qualifications to be mayor. You don't need any qualifications to be a city council person. So it's not just the auditor's office. You don't need any qualifications for anything except signatures on a position when it comes to an elected office.
Well, I think they should change that. I mean, if you're in a position of power like that, you should be qualified to do it.
Well, it becomes the question of what's qualified. I mean, let's look at the position of mayor. Now, what would make you qualified to be a mayor? Most people who run for mayor have never been mayor before.
The mayor came up through the city council. I mean, he was in politics.
So is that what we would say?
He had to have learned from the other mayors that he was serving under, you know, about what was going on. I mean, pretty much like an internship, really, if you think about it.
Well, Robert Landon had been the first ward councilman for I believe, 2 years, one term.
Yeah, but did he learn? Well, apparently not. Learn anything from the previous auditor of what was going on, what needed to be done, or anything. I mean, didn't seem to me like he learned anything.
You know, I don't know. It's when it comes to elected positions in the city of Marion, you have city council, but probably the positions that have the most full-time jobs, I guess I would say, and consequence are probably mayor and auditor. I can't think in the city, because city council is all considered part-time employees. So
yeah.
I don't know, other than the auditor and the mayor, that you could make a career out of any elected political job in Marion, except those two. Maybe there's another, maybe treasurer. Treasurer you might be able to.
What about maybe city law director? I mean, that's got to be a full-time job.
Yeah, probably the law director. So maybe those four would be the four. You don't run for police chief. You run for sheriff, but that's in the county.
Yeah.
So, yeah, probably those four. Probably law director. Do people run for law director, or is that appointed?
I have no idea.
You know, I'm trying to remember. I know the law director has run for other positions, but I don't know that I don't know that we have an election. Well, maybe we do. Because I think, a few years ago, there's one that sticks out. I just don't think he had any opposition the last time. So there might be. It might be an elected position.
Well, it seems to me something's got to change, or they run the possibility of repeating their mistakes.
Well, it's going to be interesting because the mayor appointed Martin Watts, who was a deputy auditor.
I mean, he was the only guy asking questions about what he didn't know.
Well, one of the questions is the Republican Party will get to choose the new auditor because the auditor who resigned was a Republican. So who are they going to choose? That becomes a question as well. And who is going to offer themselves up as a candidate? And we are less than 30 days from an election. You know, I wonder if a city council person who maybe loses their position or doesn't win their election might show up in that position. I wouldn't expect that we're going to have a new auditor before the election. Let's just put it that way.
No, I wouldn't think so. Too many things going on, it would be too confusing.
Well, and it's also a crucial time, to be honest, because this whole thing with the books being reconciled is not done. The state auditor has now told us that.
Yeah, I was listening. I heard that.
Yeah, so, you know, can we wait till after the election to get a new auditor in there? And does Martin Watts even want to be the new auditor? I mean, is he just happy to be interim auditor? I don't know.
It'll be interesting to find out. I mean, it's definitely a cluster.
It was news for a lot of people yesterday, and it certainly was a very unprecedented story in Marion, but now it's left us with a big conundrum because of things that haven't been done and a position that is not filled and an election coming up.
Yeah, I know.
So off to the races we go.
The mayor may have to hire in an outside auditing service to get this straightened out.
Well, I would think that city council at some point is going to have to find out when this deadline is, and let's hope it has not already passed, because at one point it was said to be September 30th.
Yeah, we're way past that.
Right, so I don't know. Nobody seems to know because apparently, according to city council members and the mayor, there was not a good relationship with the auditor. Well, he's not there anymore. So is Martin Watts going to be able to provide those answers?
Well, let's hope.
We'll all find out together.
I sure don't want Marion to go bankrupt. I have to go in there every now and again to get something.
Yeah, well, there you go. Thank you.
Yep.
So that's the story on that. 740-383-9944, 46 minutes past the hour here, WWGH Radio Time. Give me a buzz if there's anything on your mind. The story about the resignation of the auditor, the Colleen Marshall interview, or anything else. And I do want to mention this again, that we did have a call this morning from Eva Kalb, and she is looking for Patsy Kreider and Marianne Boyd, who worked at Montgomery Ward here in Marion. Her telephone number 740-499-2328. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, there are qualifications to be an elected judge.
Yes, you would have to be of some qualification to be a judge, but I think those are county positions.
Oh, the city don't have their own judge?
I don't think so. Not that I'm aware of. I think the county courthouse, where all the judges work out of, I think is considered to be a county position.
Well, that might be.
Yeah, as far as I know.
You think there'd be qualifications for a law director, too?
Well, I'm sure you have to be a lawyer to be the law director, but I don't know if there's anything outside of that. And I don't know if the law director is elected. Maybe it is. I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that either. But
I know the law director has run for things, but I don't know if there is an election for that. I'm sure somebody knows.
Okay, I just wanted to put that out there. I know you do have to, to be a judge.
Well, and I believe there are some for sheriff as well.
There should be.
Yeah, I believe so. The county a little different than the city.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Again, any questions in regard to the auditor resignation or the Colleen Marshall interview or anything else? We've only got 12 minutes left in this program, so we'd love to hear from you. If you've been thinking about calling in all morning, please feel free to do it. 12 minutes left, 48 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. And again, we want to mention this because of the community orientation of this station, that Eva Kalb is looking for Patsy Kreider and Marianne Boyd. They would have worked at Montgomery Ward here in Marion, and Eva's number is 740-499-2328. She would like to get in touch with them. So if you know them, or they are out there listening themselves, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944, or call Eva at 740-499-2328. And that's how that story shakes out this morning. All right, phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. We would love to hear from you. Certainly an interesting news morning, to say the least. And don't forget, I will be on tonight from 8 to 10 with Angie Evers, and we will have a good time there, no doubt. All right, was there anything else this morning? Well, the Don Fleming thing, I don't know what happened there. I don't know if anybody's seen Don out in public, but as I said, he used to be at county commissioner meetings, and I used to run into him there. Then he disappeared, and I wasn't sure what had happened to him, if he had passed away or what. And we did find him about 4 or 5 months ago, and I believe somebody did call him and tell him that we were looking for him. And you know what? We never heard from him either. We never heard from Don. We never heard from Geraldo, and we never heard from Don. So apparently, there are just certain areas that we are not going to succeed in. 740-383-9944. But we don't abandon hope. We never abandon hope in any of these situations. Give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. Okay. Well, we've got about 10 minutes left here. Okay, we're getting a phone call. Let's take that. Go ahead, caller.
I'm pretty sure that Eva Kalb's phone number was 494.
Oh, 494. Oh, well, let me see if it's on the caller ID here. Let me check. I'll check that, but thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, maybe I've written the number down wrong. Eva, are you still out there? Is it 494 or 499? Give us a call back here, 740-383-9944. We'd love to hear from... Well, the number Eva called from is not anywhere near the number that we gave out. So, Eva, call us back. Is it 494 or 499? Again, this all relates to Eva Kalb calling in looking for Patsy Kreider and Marianne Boyd, who worked at Montgomery Ward. She'd like to get together with them, former co-workers of hers. And you can always call the station if you know either of these two ladies, Patsy Kreider or Marianne Boyd, or if they happen to be listening. 740-383-9944. And Eva, if you're out there, call us back and give us your phone number so we can double-check it, if it's 494 or 499. Maybe this is Eva calling back in here to help us out. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, this is Eva Lou.
Yeah, Eva, what's
my number is 740-499-2328.
Oh, so it is 499.
Uh-huh.
499.
That other number is my cell number.
Oh, okay.
But I don't answer it very often.
Okay, so it's 740-499-2328.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Eva.
Thank you.
And let us know if you hear from the ladies. Okay, so we did have it right. Eva Kalb's phone number is 740-499-2328. And again, what this all relates to, Eva Kalb, also known as Eva Lou, looking for Patsy Kreider and Marianne Boyd, who worked at Montgomery Ward here in Marion. Just old co-workers of hers who she would like to get in touch with. 740-499-2328 is Eva Lou's phone number. And does anybody know either one of these ladies? Are you out there listening, Patsy Kreider or Marianne Boyd? Or is anybody familiar with either one of these ladies? I'm sure any information would be helpful for Eva. You can give us a call here on the air and share that information. You don't have to give anybody's phone number over the air, but you can tell us what you might know about Patsy Kreider or Marianne Boyd. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. We would love to hear from you. 54 minutes past the hour on this getaway Friday morning. Fun morning here at WWGH Radio. And again, all opinions, questions, comments are always welcome. Just dial the digits here, 740-383-9944, and we will be glad to hear from you. But it's just an interesting news day. That's really all you can say at this particular point when it comes to everything that's went on with the auditor, and we've had a lot of people share their opinions on this. It's what hopefully we will take away from this situation, and we like to take something away from all situations, is that at some point we've got to leave personal feeling aside and look at the job of the person. All right, go ahead, caller.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
The mayor has said several times that he didn't think Robert Landon wanted the job. Well, if he didn't want the job, why'd he run?
Well, you know, that's a question. Here's what I don't, well, it's hard for me to say because I don't want to put words into the mayor's mouth.
Yeah.
But what I would guess that means through all of these interviews is being a first ward council person is a part-time job, and uh-huh. that's what he was prior to running for this position. And as we had talked about, there are few positions in city government that can be full-time positions. Mayor, law director, and auditor. So, I think treasurer. And I think... do you remember the morning where the person called in who had worked with Robert Landon at a bank?
Vaguely.
Okay. Well, they said some things about Robert, about his things he did not know at the bank and things he did not do. And I think that's what the mayor's inferring. Now, if he's inferring something different, that maybe this was just a job. Because we do know that Robert worked at Primrose, not in the too distant past.
Uh-huh.
And then we know he worked at this bank and apparently wasn't there very long. And... you know, then came to the auditorship. So, I don't know if that's what the mayor means or not, but that's through everything that we have learned, what I guess he was saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's very confusing that why run for a job that you don't want?
Well, to be honest, clearly...
thought he wasn't going to get it?
Well, here's an issue. Clearly, at this point... people will draw their own conclusions on what kind of job he did. Now, do people know how to be auditor? Do people know what that position entails? That's a question that I think, that's become a big question, let's put it that way. That why do we have positions in which people need qualifications that the position itself has no qualification, except that you get more votes than the other person.
It's crazy.
Right. So, I don't know. A lot of people feel that when politics comes down to power and money.
Yeah.
And I can't say that that's true, because the politicians I've run into, I don't find that to be true. But, maybe for some people it is. I don't know. I also, what the mayor is saying, not coming to the office for a long time. Maybe the misleading press releases and the calls to the police station on two different occasions to file charges on people. Maybe this was why he feels he didn't want the job.
A sad state for Marion.
Well, I've never seen anything like it. Now people can consider it for the good or the bad, but what's shocking to me is that it became a political issue, that people this morning woke up happy or angry based upon what party they're in, when really, I think the happy or anger over this really should be based in, was the person, in your opinion, doing the job well?
No. And I don't know, party didn't have anything to do with it.
Well, it did for some people. It did for some people. I mean, I got a message as soon as we went on the air yesterday with this story, and it was during Adam's show, people were kind of inferring that... I should be happy about this. I guess because I covered the story. And, you know, I've said before, Robert Landon's welcome to come on this show. He has not come on this show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't live in the city. I don't vote for that position. The city auditor affects me in no way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why people would think that I or anybody at any media, and the Marion Star is facing the same thing. People are coming down on the Marion Star for covering this. I guess we shouldn't have covered it, is what the point is.
Oh, no, that's not right either. It's non-political. It's can you do the job or not? He wasn't doing it.
Well, it's sad that he didn't come on, because maybe then people would have thought it wasn't political in the media. To be honest with you, everybody who came on because we asked and they said yes. And the offers went to Republican Party Chairman Bob Schultz, who never responded to us. The offers went to Robert Landon, who would respond every so often, but it was a no. And, I mean, I don't know what you do. At that point, do you just not cover the story at all? We tried to bring... Now, the mayor is the chief executive of the city. Josh Daniels is the head of the finance committee. He's also the person who was accused of stealing mail. And the police chief, I don't believe, is political. So those are the people we had on in the last 10 days in regard to this story. I don't know why we would be happy or sad or anything, this station or the Star,
right,
for this happening.
I think you've handled it really well, Scott.
Well, I appreciate that.
I do.
Well, I hope we did. And again, Robert Landon is still a citizen, and we would still like to hear his story, and he's still welcome to come on.
Okey-doke.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right. We're going to break. Back in 15.
They said, John, we made a mistake just like you said. Come on back. Would you drop the lawsuit?
Yeah, you know, we'd have to consider.